welcome to the DeQueen campus of UA Cossetot. It's always a pleasure when we have the governor of Arkansas come to our community. And you know, we've been going through some very different times in the state of Arkansas, and I think everyone will agree with me when I say that we really appreciate the governor's leadership during this pandemic and the updates that he and his staff are able to give us. And so without further ado, for our update today on this Friday, we welcome Governor Hutchinson. Governor?
Thank you, Chancellor, and it is great to be at UA Cossetot. Thank you for your hospitality today. And I know that Dr. Smith has a mask that was provided by UA Cossetot here. And I also have a mask that's been provided by Representative Vaught. I believe was made by her sister, which is an FFA mask, and I'm delighted to have that today. It is good to be in DeQueen, and it's really a good success story as to the commitment of this community in terms of reducing the spread of COVID-19 here, reducing the cases that are here, and really emphasizing how you deal with this epidemic here in Sevier County, and they've really done a very, very good job. So it is good to be here today. I'm joined, of course, by Dr. Smith and Dr. Jose Romero with the Department of Health. And we just had a meeting, as our custom, when we get out of Little Rock, to have a meeting with some of the community leaders in a socially distanced way. Had an incredible conversation about the economy here, about the schools, and the announcement that was made yesterday in terms of how they're going to be doing schools here in DeQueen and around this area next year. Obviously with the college here and their plans, and everyone's planning on going back to school, having their coursework this year, and I applaud them for it. It's great to hear the news about the economy and how it is strong here in Sevier County, and that you haven't missed a beat, and even the small businesses are coming back as well. Let me go to our statewide report in terms of our COVID-19 cases. Yesterday, we had 26,052 cases in cumulative since the pandemic started. We have an additional 751 cases that are is added to that total, which brings it to 26,803. Of those 751 cases, and you can see that's somewhat flat from the day before, I believe it was 806 cases. So it's flat for the last 2 days. The top counties are Hot Spring County with 145. You had Pulaski with 100 new cases, Benton County with 54, Washington County with 51, Sebastian County with 42, Faulkner and Polk County both had 25, Jefferson 23, Yell County 21, and Sevier County right here. I put that in there because I'm here, but it had down to 7. And so I usually only report on those that are above 20 per county, so I simply added Sevier to give that perspective there. In terms of hospitalizations, we have an increase of 8 that brings us to 402. We have 4 additional deaths that brings us to 313. In terms of testing, we did 5,212 tests in the last 24 hours, so a significant number that were tested. If we go to the graphs, as our custom, you can see where we are in our testing today with the height of the biggest day was close to 900, and it's sort of varied since then. We're down a little bit today. If you go to the next one, is the 7-day rolling average, and whenever we see what's happening across the country, flat is good, going down is better. And we've got work to do in Arkansas, and of course, we're asking everyone to take responsibility to do their part. And then if you go to the next one, you'll see the hospitalizations that, you know, it's a they continue to be spread out across the state. And even though we're having really the largest number of hospitalizations that we've have currently, that it's still, it's spread out in hospitals across the state, and we hope that we continue to watch to make sure that's manageable. The number of active cases, we're not at our height. We are below that, but we went up a little bit today. And then this is a little bit different look than we've had before, but we'd like to look at this from time to time. And this is the statewide growth rate comparing a week to week. So this is June 28th through July 4 in terms of statewide growth rate. So June 29th, we had 2.5% growth over the previous and 2.93. You can see each day how much we grew, and the cumulative growth rate during that period of time was 18.02%. It has been in the past over 20%. We've got to get that down some more. If you go to the next one, you'll see, looking at it by public health region, the same growth rate, and this is in the last 3 or 4 weeks as we have looked at this, the northwest region of the state was the highest growth area. And as you can see here, that the northwest region is not the highest. In fact, it's moved down. And of course, this is what I was talking about before. The statewide growth rate is 18% week over week. You've got the central region that's growing at about 27%. And then you've got northeast growing at about 10%, northwest about 17% for southeast. And the southwest, where I am today, of course, it's really the lowest region, but it's very comparable northeast at right under 10%. And that helps us to see, it ought to be encouraging actually, that you could have the northwest sector that is moving up too fastly. They tighten things up, they really pay attention, and it starts looking better, growing down a little bit. But now we got the central region that is a concern. If you go to the next graph, you'll see the same growth rate, but this is by age group. And of course, this is very similar to what it's been in the past, that the highest growth rate in cases is 18 to 24, and then the younger age group, 0 to 17, and 25 to 44. And so it might be somebody that is 45 to 64 that tests positive, and that will lead them to test the others in their family. And so you're going to find out somebody that might not be symptomatic, but they will test positive as well. 65 and older, they're taking care of themselves. They're trying to stay away. They're trying to socially distance, wear a mask, and they're the lowest growth rate. And then let's see what we have. And this is specific by county in the southwest region. And this shows the growth rate in raw numbers and then percentage growth rate. And we won't go through them all, but here in Sevier County, you can see the large numbers that you had to deal with here in Sevier County. 659 on June 28th. This is cumulative cases. July 4, 730, which was a 10% growth rate in total cases. But your active cases are down, and you've got most of those that have actually recovered. But if you look at Lafayette County, of course, these are smaller numbers, 16 to 21. Percentage-wise, they had a high growth rate. If you look at Miller County, 102 cases on June 28th, 120, you got a 17% growth rate. And then let's see if we have another one here. This is the Southwest region by age group, which is similar. We'll move on from there. And I think I'm going to save that, so turn that off for a second. I'm going to let Dr. Smith talk about that one, which is instructive, as well as the next one. I want to end by talking about testing again, because many people have expressed concern that our commercial labs is taking longer to turn our testing around and get them back. And so put it in historic perspective that in March, the average collection time, the time from collection of the test kit or the swab to getting the report at the Department of Health, the average was 3.2 days in March. In April, that went down to 1.6 days. In May, 1.7 days. In June, 2.0 days. And then in July, it's edged back up again to 2.5 days. Now, I know some people hear this and say, well, it took me 7 days. Well, this is on average again. This is what we're recording. And we don't have all of our results in the most recent days. And I expect probably, from what I'm hearing anecdotally, that the wait time will probably go up from that as well. But that's something that concerns us because we need quick results that helps us to manage the outbreak, to control it, to isolate people that need to be isolated. And so we want to watch that, and hopefully with national support, we can get more resources in our commercial labs so we can get a quicker response time that will help us in states like Arkansas. With that, let me bring Dr. Smith to the podium for his comments. And there you are, Dr. Smith. And then I did ask Dr. Romero to come and give a greeting as well.
Thank you, Governor. It really is good to be here. I've been wanting to come and visit for some time. I'd like to give a few more details on the numbers that the governor's provided, and then a little bit more specific to Sevier County and also to Daquin. As the governor mentioned, we have had 751 new cases since yesterday. Of those, 149 are classified as being in correctional facilities, and 602 are from the community. Our total cases so far in Arkansas have been 26,803. Of those, 5,847 are active cases. And of those active cases, 123 are in nursing homes, 584 are in correctional facilities, and 5,140 are active cases in the community. The governor is, as mentioned, we have had an increase in the number hospitalized. We've had a net increase of 8, so we're up to 402 currently hospitalized. We have had, we currently have 84 individuals who are on a ventilator, and that's an increase of 2 from yesterday. And as the governor mentioned, we've had 4 additional deaths, bringing our total deaths to 313. Now we have had an additional 650 who have recovered since yesterday, so our total recovered is now above 20,000, 20,642. The governor has mentioned our top counties. I just wanted to give just some brief commentary on that. One is that our top county for new cases since yesterday, Hot Spring County at 145, those are most, if not all of them, are in the Ouachita River Correctional Facility there. The governor's mentioned the others, Pulaski County being the second highest at 100. In terms of our testing, we are cranking up our testing again. Since the 4th of July holiday, we did 5,212 tests yesterday. Of those, 1,203 were from the Arkansas Department of Health State Public Health Lab, so going very strong there. We also had a strong showing from UAMS, UAMS did 516 yesterday, so we're going strong there. I wanted to give some numbers that are specific to Sevier County, since that's where we are. Some things, first of all, just to say, there's probably not been any county that's been hit as hard by the COVID-19 outbreak as this county, and so I want to express my appreciation to you all for the way that you have addressed that challenge. I know that's really difficult when you've got lots of people sick in your county, in your communities. Cumulatively, we've had 788 who have tested positive here in Sevier County. In terms of overall testing, you all have done very well. Per 10,000 population in Sevier County, there have been 2,563 tested per 10,000 population. That's over twice the state average of 1,225. So congratulations on a good job done with testing. Now, your percent positivity has been very high, too, because of the number of cases that you've had. It's been 17.9% overall positivity compared to the overall state positivity rate of 7.2. Some other features of your epidemic, your outbreak here in Sevier County, is although in the county, the Latino population is a little over a third of the population, almost two-thirds of the cases have been in your Latino population. You've also had a relatively young population who have tested positive. There have been only, in Sevier County, only 34 or 4.3% of the cases have been amongst those age 65 and older. And there have been relatively few deaths, fortunately. According to our numbers, you've had 9 deaths here. That's 9 too many, but it could have been much worse. And currently, about 90% of your cases here in Sevier County have recovered, so you have 83, or about 10% of your cases that are active cases. What I'd like to finish with is these last two slides, if we could pull those up. This is a slide showing new cases with 7-day rolling averages for not the county, not Sevier County, but the city of Daquin. Now, this is just a little bit different than some of the graphs we show because these are not the dates that they were reported to the Arkansas Department of Health. These are the actual dates that those specimens were collected. But you can see that you were hit pretty high. You had some pretty high peaks. But there's been a consistent downward trend, and this has been a success story. Now, I don't want you to let up the effort because COVID-19 is notorious at coming back, if you let it. What you've been doing has really made a difference. Keep up the good work. I'm going to call this section my last comments before the governor pulls me off the lectern. Sort of tale of two cities. I'm going to show the next slide is the city that we came from this morning, which is the city of Little Rock. And you can see that it also has had an upward trend, but we've got a lot of work to do in Little Rock to match what you've done in Daquin. But this is to say to all of our cities in the state, if we do the right things, if we take a concentrated effort, if we work together, then we can make a difference. We can overcome this COVID-19 outbreak. But we have to do those things. Otherwise, we'll see those go up and up. So to Little Rock and to all the other communities, take a look at what they've done in Daquin. Take heart, because it can be done. With that, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And I'll just end by saying that we all follow what's happening nationally. And in virtually every southern and southwestern state, we have cases that are going up fairly dramatically. And so we're fighting that trend that we see across the South and the Southwest. And we see our cases elevated in Arkansas. And the simple lesson is, as Dr. Smith said, this virus does not give up. We have to continue to be very diligent. We have to be disciplined in this and continue with our strategy. And we let up for 1 second, it will come back and it will accelerate once again. So we have to work very hard here in the state continuously. With that, we'll be happy to take any questions. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Romero. Please, Dr. Romero. And Dr. Romero, of course, will be our acting Secretary of Health. When Dr. Smith leaves, we're excited about his role and leadership that he'll provide. Dr. Romero.
Thank you, Governor.
Buenas tardes. Soy el Dr. José Romero. Soy el Jefe de Operaciones Médicas del Estado.
Good afternoon. I am
I'm sorry, can you repeat that last part again? Buenas tardes, yo soy, I'm sorry, good afternoon, I'm Dr. Romero.
I'm the, soy el jefe de operaciones médicas del estado.
The chief of health of the state.
Y de parte del gobernador.
On behalf of the governor.
Y del secretario de salud me han pedido que dijera unas palabras.
To direct some words directly to you.
To, a la población latina de Sevier County.
To the Latino population in Sevier County.
Quieren hacerles saber que han sido el condado más severamente afectada del COVID durante esta pandemia.
I want to let you know that this county has been the most affected with COVID.
En el estado.
In the state.
Pero también han hecho un esfuerzo tremendo.
But there's also been great efforts being done.
Para controlar la infección aquí en este estado.
To control COVID in this state.
Por persona, por cápita, por 10,000 personas se han hecho pruebas de COVID en el doble del número de personas que se han hecho en el estado.
The double of the persons, if we look at it statewide, have tested per capita per person.
Aproximadamente dos terceras partes de las infecciones han ocurrido en la población latina de este condado.
Approximately 2/3 of the Latino community have COVID.
Y esto es muy significativo porque aproximadamente una tercera parte de la población es latina aquí en este condado.
And this is very significant. That's 1/3 of the population here in this county is Latino.
La mayoría de los casos que han ocurrido aquí.
The majority of the cases that have occurred here.
Han sido en personas menores de 65 años de edad.
People below 65 years old.
Y eso quiere decir que han protegido.
And that means.
A su población más anciana.
That they are taking care of their elders.
Desafortunadamente ha habido 9 muertes.
There has been deaths, 9.
Y cada muerte es una pérdida tremenda.
And each death is a terrible loss.
Pero queremos decirles que
we want to say,
hasta el momento se han recuperado aproximadamente el 90% de los casos.
90% have been recuperations.
Y solo tienen 10% de casos activos.
And 10% are from here.
Y es para felicitarlos en sus esfuerzos para controlar esta pandemia.
I want to congratulate you on your efforts to control this COVID-19.
Thank you, Dr. Romero. And I did ask him to speak in Spanish while we're here in Sevier County, understanding that there's a population that needs to hear from us as well, and want to thank our interpreter for her assistance. With that, we'll take any questions.
Do you find that the challenges are greater in rural communities than they are in bigger cities, or what have you seen to be the difference?
Well, of course, the advantage in rural communities is that you have the benefit of less density in population, and so there's it tends to spread less quickly, but at the same time, you have more challenges in terms of the communication, in terms of the discipline and wearing masks in that environment and taking those steps. And so it's really a heavier education load in a rural community to make sure people understand all the steps that they should take. But again, Sevier County, DeQueen is a good example of where they've taken ownership here, great leadership. They've addressed it head on, as you always do. And you can see the success from that.
Governor Hutchinson, Lauren Hinton with Ed 88 Radio here at the UA CASA-TOT. Welcome, y'all. My question is concerning the wearing of masks. And wearing a mask in Arkansas in the summer is not a whole lot of fun. But I'll guarantee if we look at the social media feed right now, there are people out there commenting on the street, on social media, that it's a conspiracy, we're sheep. How is it you respond as a leader to those folks, knowing the importance of wearing a mask? And my same to Dr. Smith as well, is as a medical professional, how do you respond to people that even cite other medical folks are saying you don't need to wear a mask? What's your response to that?
Well, and I'll let Dr. Smith respond as well, but thank goodness those that follow the conspiracy theory is in the extreme minority. We actually just did polling information on that and got good data, and we asked though that the percent that does not wear a mask, what are the reasons you do not wear a mask? And the reasons were varied, but the conspiracy theorists are very, very low as part of that. But we've worked hard on education, and it's a national message as well as a state message about the benefits from a medical standpoint of wearing a mask. People understand that. You'd have to be hiding under a rock somewhere really not to get the message that has been conveyed consistently as to how you protect others. But it's also common sense, as you can see, that that protects you and others from the spread of the virus. Dr. Smith?
A couple quick things to say about masks. As the governor said, the evidence is very clear that masks are very useful in source control. The idea of the masks that we're wearing is that it will catch the respiratory droplets as they come out of my nose, my mouth, so they don't get into the air and so you don't breathe them in. Now, these are not designed to be highly protective of the wearer, although we do now have some emerging evidence that they are, they have some usefulness for that as well. But the idea is source control, and for source control, this isn't new. When you go to a hospital, if you have a surgical procedure done, your surgeon is always wearing a surgical mask because you don't want what's coming out of his mouth and his nose in your surgical wound. So we know they work. Now the question of comfort, you know, we have a whole wide variety of masks that are used, and some of them are easier to wear than others. If we remember what the purpose is for these masks is to catch or capture as many of the respiratory droplets as they come out of our mouths, then we know a loose-fitting mask that, you know, almost like a veil, you know, that that just captures those droplets before they get into the air is what we need. We don't need something tight-fitting and constricting, although I know a lot of the masks out there are a bit. This one is nice and loose-fitting, and I could wear this for some time. And then part of it is just getting used to it. My mother, who is in her 80s, is a retired anesthesiologist, and she said, you know, when she was working, all the years that she was working, she wore a mask all day, every day. Now it's a little tough to get back to used to wearing it again, but we can get used to it. Wearing a tie in the summer is not a lot of fun either, but I've learned to get used to it. Now, if I take a week off, it's kind of tough to get back to it. But if we work on it, find a mask that is loose enough fitting to be bearable. We don't have to wear it when we're alone, and we don't have to wear it when we're outside and you know, more than 6 feet away from other people. But if we get used to this, these will be things that that really are life-saving, that can reduce the spread of COVID-19 and really help our communities.
Yes, ma'am.
With the rise of cases in surrounding states like Texas and Louisiana, is there a concern that those will kind of port over into Arkansas and possibly leading to some things shutting down again or going backwards with the phase reopening process?
I think that's something you have to watch. Obviously here in the Southwest, with the closeness of Louisiana and Texas, you want to be mindful of those events that might bring people from multiple states together, and that you could be exposed to somebody that's asymptomatic without even thinking about it. And so that's why whenever you go to an event, you go to the store, you've got to remember that the people that you're seeing there might be asymptomatic, they might have the virus, they might be coming from other states, and so that's why we take the steps to keep that distance from somebody else. Obviously, you want everybody to be wearing a mask. But if you look at Louisiana, they've hoped and we hope that the worst would be behind them with the tremendous peak that they had, but then it came down so dramatically, and now you see it starting to edge up again. And here again, this is just a reminder that this virus does not go away easily, and it's not going to be, we're not going to be through this until we get the vaccine. And so this is not just a 1 month fight, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months. This is a year long fight that we have. And that's true in Louisiana. Obviously it's true in Texas and Arkansas. So I think it's more about the actions that we take individually and a community versus trying to restrict the travel and say somebody can't come in from Louisiana or somebody shouldn't come in from Texas. Let's just all work together as a region to protect ourselves and protect others. Let's go remotely. Do we have that access today? Yes.
Good afternoon, Governor. It's Neil Gladman in Hot Springs. In our part of the state, I don't know if this question is for you or for Dr. Smith, but could you walk us through what's happened at the Ouachita Correctional Facility? Because it seemed like that had been taken care of. Is this a flare-up, or what caused those numbers to come back up again 2 weeks later?
Neil, Dr. Smith will answer that.
Yes, that's a very good question, and I'll walk you through it a little bit, and I think this illustrates a very good point. When we went into the Ouachita River unit, we tested everyone there, all the inmates and the staff. There were many who tested negative, but as we've said before, if you've been exposed, a negative test cannot rule out infection. It means that you could be infected, but the amount of virus is still too low to test positive. And so you have to go back and retest. If someone is exposed, initially tests negative, but then develops symptoms, you got to go back and retest them. And that's exactly what's happened. There were individuals who were exposed. They actually were infected, but they initially tested negative because it was too early in their infection to have a positive result. You know, we knew that was likely. We know that's what happens when people are exposed. That's why if you have contact with someone who's a known case, you have to be quarantined for 14 days, even if that test is negative at first. And that's what happened. Those individuals tested negative at first, but as we watched them, some developed symptoms. We tested them again, and many of those who initially tested negative have now tested positive. And we'll continue to watch those individuals, all those who have been exposed but have initially tested negative. We need to continue to watch them, see if they develop symptoms, test them again if they do.
Dr. Smith, just a follow-up, please. And was the second round of testing because the number of people who became symptomatic?
Yes. In some cases, we will go ahead and retest. Even if someone tests negative very early on, especially if they're a high-risk individual. But I believe in this case, it was because there were those who initially tested negative who became symptomatic.
Thank you.
Next question remotely.
This is Cole with 3029. With the increased demand for testing, does that leave any concern about a potential shortage in testing supplies in the state?
That's a very good question, and let me elaborate. I'm not concerned about the testing supplies in the state in terms of our availability of swabs, our availability of testing materials at the Department of Health and UAMS. Our concern is the national shortage. Because of the high population states of Texas, of California, Arizona, Florida, that have an increase in cases, that pressure point on the six commercial labs that are all located outside of Arkansas will delay their response time and their ability to get testing results back to us. And we've seen that in recent days, and so there is the concern, and that's the pressure point. It's not what we have in Arkansas. It's not our demand. It is the national demand and the national backup on our commercial labs. And I know the White House is looking at that. I'm talking to them about utilizing the National Defense Production Act so that they can have a greater national program working through the labs to strengthen that supply chain. Next question remotely.
This is Chad Muir with KNWA News. Thanks for taking our question. I have a couple questions for Dr. Nate Smith regarding the CDC's summary report from up here in Northwest Arkansas, if I may. We've gone through a couple of the recommendations. One says to consider serial testing at 5 to 7 day intervals in high burden settings. was wondering if you could just give us an idea of what serial testing would mean and if that is something the state would consider or even could do given the current testing supplies. And then I also wanted to ask about a recommendation regarding improving the data collected through contact tracing. The report mentions reducing missing data, reducing duplication of data collection efforts. Have these been issues we've had in the state, and what kind of problems can that cause with the overall goal of contact tracing?
Well, let me start first with the recommendation about serial testing. This idea of serial testing is really just what I was talking about with regard to the Ouachita River unit. You have people who have been exposed, they initially test negative, but that's not the end of the story. In some cases where there's high risk, you need to go back and test again. And there are some communities where there's been so much transmission that people test negative, but then you got to go back and retest them 5, 6, 7 days later because they may actually have been infected, it was just too early to tell. And that is a strategy that we will use as we're able. Obviously, right now, with some constraints on supply chains and testing, we may not be able to fully implement that recommendation everywhere that it would be useful, but it's a valuable recommendation, and there may be some situations where we do decide to do that in the community. We already do that in some congregate settings, like nursing homes and correctional facilities, where that risk of transmission is extraordinarily high. With regard to the data issue, data is always a challenge, always has been a challenge in this pandemic, because we have so many data points coming in from so many different sources, and that's why, as part of our contact tracing, as part of our lab testing, we've always budgeted in, included informatics, data management. That's been something that we have been using from the very beginning. We have our Office of Health Information Technology that operates SHARE, and that's part of the health department. We, very early on in this pandemic, employed them, got them involved in building data feeds so that we can get as complete data as possible. Certainly, we do have missing data in some areas, and when people are trying to do things quickly, like the testing, we don't always get all the data from every test result that we would like to have, but we will work to improve that. As we build out our capacity for contact tracing, that should also help us to get data in more quickly than we have. So, yes, there are challenges. I don't think we're having more challenges here in Arkansas than any place else. We have been addressing those, but we are looking to address those more fully as we implement these two contracts for contact tracing.
Final question remotely, then we'll come back. All right, we'll come back here to the studio. Yes, ma'am.
So with Sevier County having two poultry processing plants, is there a concern that a lot of those cases are coming from those plants since there is a large group of workers there?
Is that Drew County?
No, Sevier County.
Sevier County. Well, actually, that was part of our conversation today at lunch. We had the manager of Pilgrim's Pride that was there, and I was very impressed that of the safety precautions that they had put in place. They actually have a full-time staff superintendent that is responsible for COVID education within the facility, teaching everyone there not just how to be safe in the work environment, but also how to take that into the community in the rest of the time in which they live. And so I was very pleased, and they've been part of the success story here in Sevier County as to the reduction of the cases and how you've got to handle on the spread of COVID-19. So they, should be applauded, and they've been a key part of the success here.
So has a large portion of the cases in Sevier County come from those plants?
There's been a number of those. I don't know if you have the statistics there, but the answer is yes. And that's consistent with many other counties in Arkansas that have a significant part of their workforce that's in the poultry processing or meat processing area. Thank you all. Was that a question back here?
I do have a question about research predictions, projections for the fall. Why are they so high for the state?
You know, that's a good question. And, you know, I guess you can ask the same question in the spring based upon the modeling. They were telling us we might need to open up War Memorial Stadium for extra hospital space. And so the modeling has always extrapolated, you know, the numbers. And if they continue at the particular growth rate, then you might have these kind of high numbers in the fall. And they change. You know, last week it was September 30th peak time, and now they've moved it to October with a change in the numbers. So all I can say is we're doing everything that we can to make sure we flatten that curve. I think we've had some success through the spring months on that. We've just got to translate that same success for the summer and the fall. Thank you very much.